In the movie called 2010, based on the book by Arthur C. Clarke, a joint Russian-American mission sends astronauts from a troubled Earth on a long mission to Jupiter.
How far away is Jupiter?
Far.
They're following a mysterious signal and discover something wonderful around a tiny moon called Europa.
If this date is correct, then there's something down there.
It is correct.
It was organic.
What's down there? Probes fail, instruments fail, but something is down there on Europa. And for those that saw the movie, you know there comes a warning, right? At the end from an unseen entity. All these worlds are yours, except Europa. Now that's science fiction, but for most astronomers, Europa is the number one place in the solar system to look for life. Right now. So what are we waiting for? Warning aside, let's go to Europa. From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm your host, Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up. The show that takes you deep into the cosmos or just to the telescope in your backyard to learn more about what makes this amazing universe of ours so great. Today, we're hitching a ride on the Europa Clipper mission. Our guest and tour guide is Dr. Aaron Leonard, planetary geologist and project staff scientist for the Europa Clipper mission. So before we get to Europa, let's first talk about Jupiter. The planet itself is humongous. It's about 88,000 miles wide at the equator, so that means you could line up about 11 Earths from end to end. But Jupiter itself is not the place we want to be looking for life because it's all gases. Majority of it is hydrogen and helium, and that's about it. There's not even any place you can stand on Jupiter. But its moons present some really fascinating features that are going on there. We're talking like dozens and dozens and dozens of moons, just a little under 100 moons that have been found around Jupiter. And there's really cool ones, too. Take Io. This is the closest big moon to Jupiter. And Io is covered in volcanoes. This is like a geologically active moon, the likes of which we have no other comparison in the solar system. Volcanoes going off all the time, basically daily, with giant pools of lava. And it's hot because of the tidal forces. The tug of Jupiter's gravity is actually stretching out this moon. So it's like if you take a rubber band and you stretch it back and forth really fast, it gets hot. That's what's happening to Io.
We found that it's covered with volcanoes. It is tremendously geologically active. There are volcanoes erupting all the time.
The heat is just bursting out all over the place. But that's not the place we want to look for life. We want to go a little farther away where there's still some of that tidal heat, but it's not creating like volcanoes all over the place. And that's where we get to the moon Europa. And so Europa is about the size of our moon, about 2,000 miles across or so, and covered in ice. At first glance, it looks like this frozen, kind of dead ice ball with these surface cracks on it, some places where meteors slammed into the ice and broke through the surface. And then also places where it looks like ice might be moving.
We are one step closer to finding out whether we're alone in our solar system. NASA announced Monday Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, is shooting water vapor about 100 miles into space.
It's not just frozen, and it's definitely not frozen solid. Something is moving underneath the ice. And so the Galileo spacecraft was the first one that kind of got these really close-up pictures of this. And they saw that these cracks that were underneath the surface had this kind of pattern to them. The planetary scientists were looking at these and they're like, you know, this is tidal forces. This is things that are moving something liquid under the surface. It's not just some strange liquid, it's H2O. And it's in liquid form. That means not frozen, not gas. That means the temperature is hot enough for it to melt, but not too cold to freeze. That's weird. That's really hard to find in our solar system. So Europa, if the estimates are correct, has more liquid water in it than all the oceans of the Earth combined. And that's why we want to go check it out. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for joining me today.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, now, take me to launch day. You know, what is it like that day just before the launch of the Europa Clipper and the moments just after it clears the tower?
You know, I've gotten this question a couple times, and I still struggle with the words to describe it. It is like every emotion all at once. It's a little terrifying. It's so spectacular, so amazing, so much hope and joy. There's really just the whole spectrum of emotions going on. I was at the Banana Creek viewing site where a lot of the science team and engineering team was to watch the launch. And you know, you're sitting there with all of your colleagues who work on the mission, and it's such a great team experience, feeling the same things as you're just watching the rocket on the launch pad and then counting down.
4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
As it clears the tower.
And liftoff.
It's everything. It's really, really like nothing else I've ever experienced.
Unveiling the mysteries of an enormous ocean lurking beneath the icy crust of Jupiter's moon, Europa.
I can imagine you and a lot of people had a lot of sleepless nights ahead of this. I mean, because this mission's been in the works for a very long time. What were some of the setbacks and challenges and what finally got this mission to reality?
Yeah, so I've been working on this mission now for about 9 years, but there was a whole history even before that. A lot of different people in the community went through several different versions or concepts of different sorts of missions all to go to Europa. And, you know, due to different budgetary reasons or other reasons, those earlier iterations were not what we eventually ended up flying Europa Clipper. And even after Europa Clipper became a mission in about 2015, that's when I sort of got involved. You know, there's always challenges when you're building a mission. Going to Europa is a challenging environment. It's been a long road. And so that really just made it even more rewarding to watch the launch and to know that now that the spacecraft is where it belongs. It's in space and that's where it was designed to be. And so we're all just so happy that it's there and it's doing really well.
Well, now comes the long wait, essentially, because now that it's up in orbit or it's up in space, it's on its way to the Jupiter system. What's the path that it's going to take to get there? And are there some potential hazards en route?
Yeah, so we don't go straight to Jupiter. We do have quite a long cruise of about 5.5 years. It's actually going to happen as we're on a what we call a mega trajectory, a Mars-Earth gravity assist. So we actually go out to Mars, we kind of slingshot around Mars, and then we come back around Earth, slingshot back around Earth, and then out to Jupiter. And so that's why it takes 5.5 years to get there. We don't have particularly a lot of hazards along the way. It's a pretty benign environment, especially radiation-wise. When we do get to Jupiter, we'll have about a 6-hour burn to essentially slow down. As we're burning the thrusters, we're slowing down to get into orbit around Jupiter, and I think that'll be a really fun and intense maneuver that the spacecraft does.
So it's going to enter into an orbit. Is it kind of a real close orbit to Europa or kind of an elongated one?
Yeah, so we actually don't get into orbit around Europa, but we stay in orbit around Jupiter. And we do these really long elliptical orbits around Jupiter that have close flybys of Europa. But we stay in this long elliptical orbit around Jupiter. And that's primarily due to the really intense radiation environment right around Europa due to Jupiter's radiation belts. And so we don't want to be in orbit around Europa and stay in that really intense radiation environment all the time. And so we do this for Europa Clipper to essentially extend the lifetime of the mission, right? If we were in orbit around Europa, we wouldn't be able to be there very long because it's really hard to build a spacecraft that can survive that much intense radiation. But by being in these long elliptical orbits around Jupiter, we can perform a lot of flybys of Europa. So we get a really nice web of coverage and build up this global coverage of Europa while staying out of the really intense radiation environment for the most part. And we get really close to Europa. Some of our closest flybys get down to 25 kilometers, which is really close to Europa.
Wow, that is really close, given how far away that moon is, only 25 kilometers off. And so what are the main goals of the mission? Are there things you hope to find, discover, or maybe some things to rule out?
Yeah, so the main goal of the Europa Clipper mission is to understand whether Europa Europa's ocean in particular may be habitable, may be a habitable environment. So we want to understand all aspects of that habitability, right? We think that life on Earth originated at the bottom of Earth's oceans, at what we call mid-ocean ridges, where there's heat, there's water, there's rock, and there's time, and all of these ingredients were bubbling together. We think that Europa's ocean may also have these ingredients. It has a rocky core. We think there's a lot of heat generated through its orbit around Jupiter. It has an ocean composition that we think is somewhat similar to Earth's ocean. So we think that Europa may have all of these ingredients needed to produce life in its subsurface ocean, but we really need a dedicated mission to understand that, to understand the conditions within Europa's ocean.
I know this is going to be really tough to answer this, but perfect world. Ideally, what in your wildest dreams do you hope Europa Clipper finds?
Oh, man, it's a good question. It's a common question. What I'm most looking forward to with Europa Clipper is really just the questions that we don't even know to ask yet, right? Like, we think we understand some of these things about Europa, but we're going to discover so much with Europa Clipper. We're going to get answers to questions we don't even know to ask yet. It's going to be really, really great and really exciting. You know, I am a planetary geologist, so I mostly study surfaces. So I'm most excited also for the images that we're going to return of Europa's surface and understanding how that surface can be so young. It's one of the youngest surfaces in our solar system, on average only about 100 million years old. And even Earth's surface is older than that, at more like 200 to 300 million years old. And we think Earth has a really young surface. So really understanding how Europa's surface is so young, you know, what exactly are we going to find? I don't know, but it's going to be amazing.
And I assume it's going to be quite a bit different than what Galileo, the Galileo spacecraft found, because it's been a number of years since that survey happened. And the surface of Europa is changing even as we speak?
Potentially, yes. That's definitely something we're going to be looking for with Europa Clipper change detection, right? Has Europa's surface changed over the past decades since we've really been there to study it with the Galileo spacecraft? So that's definitely something we'll be looking at. We'll be looking for surface changes, either tectonic or even cryovolcanism potentially. And then we'll also be looking for activity like potentially plumes. You know, we have tantalizing evidence that there could be plumes on Europa from the Hubble Space Telescope, but those are only a couple pixels. We're not really sure if it's noise, if it's real, but with Europa Clipper, we'll get a great grasp on that.
Well, and then I gotta ask, I know it barely left Earth, but what future mission does this pave the way for? What do we see next in the pipeline?
Yeah, I think it's never too early to ask.
Oh, good, good. I was hoping I didn't ask. Yeah.
You know, some of it does depend on what we find with Europa Clipper, right? But especially if we go there with Clipper, and if we find that environment is indeed habitable, then the next thing we're going to want to do very eagerly, right, is send something there, send another spacecraft there to see if it is inhabited, to see if there is life in Europa's ocean. And so that may take the form of something like a lander that digs into the subsurface, or even something more like a melt probe that can melt through the ice shell and into the subsurface ocean. And so there's a lot of different early concepts out there right now, but definitely never too early to be thinking about something like that.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much for talking to us about this today. This is such an awesome mission. I've been following along for a long time. I'm excited to have it out and started. And now, yeah, I just got to wait 5.5 more years. That's fine. We can do that. No problem.
Best thing comes to those who wait, right? So, yes, I think this is, like you said, a very exciting mission. I'll be right there waiting with you for the next 5.5 years. But it's going to be so spectacular when it gets there that it will be worth the wait.
So I know this mission just took off, and I'm already asking Dr. Leonard from Europa Clipper, like, what's going to happen in 5 years when it gets there? What's going to happen after that? What's going to happen after it finds this? But I'm kind of buzzing with this stuff, because this world is so unique. She kind of hinted at this and mentioned that there are these really encouraging signs from both the Galileo spacecraft and the Hubble Space Telescope that took some images of it, and man, it sure looks like geysers are shooting right out of it. But I guess we can't confirm that yet until Europa Clipper gets there. But yeah, look for those Hubble telescope pictures of geysers on Europa, because that certainly looks like it to me. And so this is maybe turning sci-fi into reality, just like in the movie 2010. What really is next? Let's say we find this giant ocean of water below the ice. How do we get to the water? How do we fly 400, 500 million miles with some kind of robotic drill, drill through the probably miles and miles of ice, and then deposit a submarine to swim around? And then you have this robotic submarine sending you pictures from the oceans of Europa. Is that too far-fetched to imagine happening in my lifetime?
You can tell your children of the day when everyone looked up and realized that we were only tenants of this world. We have been given a new lease and a warning from the landlord.
I mean, come on. Come on, guys. We can do this. We can definitely do this. And then what's after that? How do we send some people there? So the next steps, the next real-life future on Europa, well, it's going to be shaped here in the next 5-6 years when Europa Clipper gets there and arrives finally in 2030. Looking Up with Dean Regas is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds and I created the podcast in 2017. Ella Rowan and Marshall Verbsky produce and edit our show and are currently on assignment to watch the movie 2010 to find out more about Europa. I think you guys will like it. You know, it was made in 1984, so it's like retro-futuristic. Janelle Walton is our vice president of content, and Ronnie Salerno is our digital platforms manager. Our theme song is Possible Light by Ziv Moran, and our cover art is by Nicole Tiffany. I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.